On the Edge with April Mahoney. Brains, how are you today? You're at the spot, the place, the location where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. We're going to New York today. We are with Susan Weisbach Freeman. She is not only an amazing psychotherapist, but she's also a budding, inspiring novelist. She's going to share with us the release of her new book. And this is an exclusive, Brains. We are going to look at that.
Clara's truth.
Clara's truth. We are going to be able to share this with her before anybody else on the planet. So you guys are in for a treat. So it's so nice to have you, Susan. Tell my brains a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show, April. And yes, as you were saying, I've been a psychotherapist, a clinical social worker, practicing for over 25 years. And more recently, I am a debut novelist, and my novel, Clara's Truth, will be coming out on June 11th.
Wow. So what took you from one phase to the other, or how do they merge together?
Yeah. Well, I started writing this book actually about 10 years ago. I really didn't have a background in writing per se or creative writing, but I was doing some writing on my own, mostly doing some journaling and then starting to do some short stories. And then as I came up with a particular idea and I started writing more about it, and it became a story. I kept writing and writing. It became a few stories before I kind of honed it in to try to make it into a book. And it's been a long process since, but a really interesting one.
Well, it's lighting you up because you can't stop smiling. I know that you're so proud of yourself. Tell us a little bit about the writing process. I've written three books. Two of mine were poetry, and another one was a children's book. But you have to go into a certain headspace. You've got to
Yes.
quiet the mind, and you've got to be receptive to what comes through.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, I think that I wasn't thinking about writing a book when I started. I was just writing ideas, and it was kind of like stream of consciousness. And so it just flowed. And I can talk a little bit about kind of what inspired me, but in terms of it flowing, that's how things happen. But as far as then needing to make it into really a chronological story, I needed to go back and do a lot of editing.
Oh, editing. And that's what people fail to realize. They write a book and it's great, but the editing is key because it's it. Now, did you do your own editing or did you hire someone else?
I hired an editor, a developmental editor, to help me. Actually, what was happening was I kept getting feedback that my book was like two books that took place in two different locations. The main location, which is in this book, is in Poland. The other location was in Mexico, where the main character, who's an archaeologist, was working on a dig. And I hope that that will be a prequel. But so in figuring that out and then developing the Poland story more, I did use a developmental editor. And later on, I had some copy editing done, including by the hybrid publisher I used.
Right. Because Brains, even though it's a fictional novel, you want it to be as realistic as possible. You want the setting, you want the people, you want the time period, you want to be able to describe the clothing and the food. Now, have you ever done any archaeological digs?
Oh no, I'm not sort of a little bit of a like set up kind of fake touristy archaeological dig, but I thought you were going to ask me. I'm nodding. I thought you were going to ask me, have I ever been to Poland?
Right, I was going to
And
ask you that next.
yes. So I do have a little experience being on a dig site, and also approximately 10 years ago, I went with my husband on a Jewish heritage tour with a group of people to Poland, and it was primarily to Warsaw and Krakow. And yeah, so.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about, without giving away too much, but tell us a little bit about the premise of the book.
So the premise of the book is about a woman, and her name is Clara, and it's Clara with a K because it's a European spelling. And she is a 49-year-old archaeology professor, and she decides that she's going to go to Warsaw in search of answers about her father, who has been disappeared for a long time. And she ultimately discovers, I would say, forgotten parts of herself and connects with family, her father's family that she hadn't met before. And she also meets a romantic interest. And she, I would definitely say she heals deeply held wounds, because she is somebody who, while she's smart and driven, she's pretty emotionally cut off and disconnected.
Okay, all right. So are you going to share an excerpt?
Oh, I would love to.
Oh, I'd love to
Okay.
hear that. I'm excited.
Okay, I'm
Brains, I need you to sit up straight. You don't have time to get a snack. Okay,
gonna.
but I want you to sit up straight and listen to this. I'm excited.
Okay, great. Okay, so this is the very beginning of the book, chapter one, May 6th, 2014, Bangor, Maine. It was the first spring-like day Clara could remember in what felt like forever, a whopping 62 degrees. Clara was walking home for some lunch after teaching two classes that morning when she grabbed her mail from the post box next to the street curb. In quickly leafing through her letters, mostly junk mail, she spied a large red, white, and blue FedEx envelope with her mother's name and return address. She picked up her pace, quickly unlocking the antique oak front door to her small white colonial, throwing down her jean jacket along with the rest of the mail. Tearing open the cardboard envelope, she found a letter from her mother and a more official one from the Polish government. She read her mother's letter first. "Dear Clara, I have surprising news to tell you, and what good news it is. We are inheriting money in your father's name. The Polish government has finally gotten around to reimbursing families for the property the German Nazis and then the communist Polish government stole from their Jewish citizens all those years ago. I know it will be a shock, but I must tell you that your father is dead. When I first found out many years ago, you were so young and I didn't want to upset you. After that, it just seemed easier not to talk about it. The truth is, we were fighting all the time and he decided to leave after he lost his job due to his drinking. He refused to understand that your grandfather was as important to me as he was, and I couldn't just move out, just the three of us, leaving your grandfather all alone to fend for himself. What kind of daughter would that make me? He took a train to Philadelphia from New York City to look for work. There was a job a friend had told him about, and well, the train was in an accident. He was among five passengers who were immediately killed. You were so young, only 6 years old. His sister Rachel still lived in Warsaw at the time. When I told her about the accident, she somehow had your father's body flown to Warsaw, where he was buried. I know I should have told you sooner. I'm forced to bring it up now as there's a lot of money at hand, $250,000. We could handle it by mail, but I'm worried that your father's sister, if she's still alive, or her family might try to finagle all the money for themselves. So I think it's best if you travel to Poland. Call me right away, Mom.
Now you've got me in a cliffhanger here. You've got me. What's going on?
That's the idea.
Why do people do that? Why do they finagle money? Why do they let stuff like this supersede love? And she didn't tell her. Of course, she thought she was going to be traumatized, which I'm sure that she was. But to find out like this is, I don't know. Did you use a little bit of your psychotherapist vibe when creating
Yes.
this and coming up with the profile of these individuals and these characters?
Yes. I mean, I can see that more as I look back, as I'm reading it now. As I was doing it, that psychotherapy, psychological vibe is just a part of me and how I see the world. And so I think it definitely came through in my writing. And I hope that it comes through in the depth of the characters, in Clara herself, in her mother, and who her father was. There's a big piece where she connects with her father's sister, her aunt, who's basically the same age as her mother. As I mentioned, there's a romantic interest. His name is Philip. She has a cousin, Hannah, that is quite suspicious of her motives at first, thinking she just came because of the money, because the family in Poland hadn't heard from her ever. And then later on in the book, there's a series of letters that she has translated for her. And they're in Polish and they're by her father when he's living, before he dies, when he's living in New York City and mailing letters about Clara to his sister in Poland
Oh.
when she's a little girl.
As a writer, sometimes we have blocks. Just zone out. What did you do to reinvigorate yourself? Did you read other authors? Did you go for a walk? Did you journal? Did you connect with some other people, maybe in the Polish Jewish community?
So what did I do? I definitely went for walks and did yoga and listened to some good tunes and did stretching and all of those things. And I also met some other writers in the process. And through going to workshops, and also I ended up taking a class in writing a novel through Sarah Lawrence, which is in Bronxville's Adult Writing Institute. And so there are a few people that I've continued to keep up with. And one of them in particular, during the course of when I did a lot of the writing or like editing, we shared pieces back and forth. So she would send me a chapter of hers, and I'd send her a chapter of mine, and then we would write notes and we would discuss it. And I think that a lot of writers have that kind of a setup where maybe they have a group that they write with and share pieces, or they have another person. And having another pair of eyes on your writing, at least for me, really helped a lot. But I wasn't ready to get to that point until I had gotten a lot of it written down. It was more like once I was doing the editing, that's when I needed the other eyes.
You don't want people to shade your vision or distract you from, where you want to go. You want to get it all out and then incorporate the input, make the edits, make the changes.
And if I could just say that, and I imagine you went through this also with what you wrote, that there's so much more that you write than that ever appears in the final version. That
Absolutely.
includes research, that it just includes words overall and pieces of the story. And the hardest thing,
And when you look at it, you're going, oh my God, you butchered my work. But there's only so, and when you have an editor or you have another person, to read it for you, it's a fresh set of eyes because it's like giving birth.
It totally.
Once you deliver it, it belongs to the world. It's not just about you. And we
Right.
can
And
go
each
on and on and on.
on and on, and each person who reads this book or any book is going to have their own perspective and bring their own experience to the book. And so it's going to mean different things. And some people are going to like it, some people are going to resonate with it, and others won't. And others might dislike it for certain reasons or just feel like, oh, it doesn't speak to me and put it down.
Right. And that's okay,
That
because
is absolutely okay.
that's how we grow. That's how we grow as an author. Do you foresee doing this as an audiobook?
Yes, I do. I am planning to do it as an audiobook, and I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, that it will come out on the same day as the book. So the book is going to come out as a paperback, as a trade paperback, and also on Kindle, and I'm hoping on the same day, which is in June, also as an audiobook. And the reason it's coming out as a trade paperback is that She Writes Press, which is the hybrid press I used, comes out with books that way. They don't, traditional publishing companies always do a hardcover first and then a paperback later.
Right. Okay, so you said hopefully, and I wanted to. Let's Dream the Impossible Dream. Where could you take this? Could you take this to be a stage play? Could you take it to be a Netflix series? Could you be a trilogy? I mean, just throw it out there. Where else would you like to see this travel?
Well, I definitely have a prequel already. I mean, I shouldn't say, not just an idea. I have about 100 pages of a prequel.
Wow.
And then I even have a prequel to the prequel. So I'm not sure if in the end I would like to continue to work on the first prequel and then to decide, will I then do a sequel or will I get then go back in time even further?
Right. Is this really centered around culturally, because again, it's Poland and the Jewish, and there's so much going on in the world right now. Are you able to align and connect? And because there's a lot of people looking for solidarity, looking for hope, looking for understanding. Do you think they would relate to this story?
I hope so. I mean, in writing this story, my character is Jewish, my background is Jewish. It felt very natural to write about this. But I would say that I hope that the book is also not just about somebody who is Jewish culturally and who has this connection to Poland because of her family or her father's family. It's also about trauma, right? And it's about Clara's personal trauma. It's about the trauma of what went on during World War II. Over 75 years ago, I think it's over seven, I'm not doing the numbers right now, but many years ago, it's about the repercussions of that trauma. And it's about how does trauma affect anyone and any family in terms of intergenerational trauma and what happens in terms of not just the people that went through the trauma, but their children.
Right.
And so I wanted to really write about that. And because of my backgrounds, what spoke to me the most is, when I thought about what large, it wasn't even like a thinking process, it just happened. What came out was the Holocaust really resonates for me as a huge societal trauma, or even, geopolitical trauma and World War II that happened to our world. But I think it can relate to so many. To potentially, so many other awful wars, and including, unfortunately, things going on today.
Along with women, just how we process things differently. We have a different filter. We look through life with a different lens. And so for her to be able to relate and to resonate and connect with people, I think that it will be a universal message.
Yes, and what I really hope will be a universal message is the understanding of how someone like this character, Clara, who's 49 when the book starts, has had her own personal childhood trauma and how that then shapes her as an adult. As I said before, she's bright. Ends up becoming a PhD professor in archaeology and leading digs and early on in her career, doing a lot of research and writing, but she's very cut off emotionally. And I wanted to talk about someone who was cut off emotionally and how they evolve, how they can evolve over time. So often I think about, well, how can somebody evolve through therapy, right? And that's another way. But because I was writing this story, I was able to create a new family for her. And especially with an aunt, her father's sister, who really wanted her, really wanted her in her life. And so that helps her to become more connected and less emotionally frozen and stuck, and to a point that she was able to, with a lot of difficulty, but have a relationship with a man.
And you know what? It's a lot, maybe a fictional book, but it is so realistic and so on point because we can rewrite the narrative. We can rewrite our story. We can learn to live with trauma. A lot of times people say, oh, get over it. Well, it's a part of who you are, it's a part of your soul contract, I believe, anyway. But to be able to go with her. This will be very helpful to other people that are struggling with things that have happened in their past and they keep replaying that same story. You know, so with help, counseling, families, travel, all that. So I'm excited for you. Let's ask some fun questions about you. How about that?
Sounds good.
As a child, what were some of your favorite books that you read? Some of your favorite childhood memories?
Oh gosh. I loved books like James and the Giant Peach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Pippi Longstocking books. Judy, the little, when I was a little bit older, Judy Blume books.
I was just getting ready to say that. Was she the best or whatever?
She,
She was,
yeah,
no, again,
totally.
that was another trailblazer. She really introduced making that transformation into maturity for girls a little bit easier. And she was just a,
Absolutely.
are
I
you
think she was
God?
the
It's me, Margaret.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think everybody, every girl, every woman of a certain generation, and I think we're close in age, April, definitely read that book and passed it around to their friends. And
Exactly. It was a rite
it was
of passage.
before there was so much more information out there now, both in books and podcasts and just, you know, in classes than there was back in the 70s.
And it was just so simplistic and easy to read. And it didn't seem like it got a lot of controversy from parents either. You know,
No,
mothers were really willing to let their daughters read this, share it, explore it, you know, and answered a lot of questions for them as well.
that's
But it
right.
was very comfortable. It was
I
very.
think it was very comfortable for parents, and they, I think a lot of parents appreciated it because they didn't have the language themselves, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, as you progress as a writer, what are some of your challenges that you found in the writing process, some of the
Yeah.
stumbling blocks.
Well, I would say a lot of the stumbling blocks really came into place when I tried to get my book published. And I think that's true for many people, certainly that I speak to. It's really, really hard to know how to get your foot in the door when you're not in the industry, when meaning, you know, you're not in publishing in some sense, when you're maybe also not in social media, when you don't have, if you don't have a master's in fine art in writing. Not that that's a guarantee by any means, but you tend to meet more people in the field that way through professors, through other writers that you're in class with. So that was the most frustrating piece. And I just sent out, and you know, basically you need to get an agent if you're going to go the traditional publishing route. And so that's what I did try to do, and it didn't work out. And after sending out, I got some nice responses, some re outright rejections, and many no response at all, no responses at all. And you know, it's always painful to put yourself out there and not know what somebody's thinking or get a rejection. And then a friend of mine said, you know, told me about She Writes in particular, which is also connected to Sparks Press, and that is a hybrid company. So what that means is that they are involved with distribution and also well, I would say the main thing is distribution and just helping you get setting things up and getting the book out.
It is a challenge. And what we also have to consider is that a publisher is not a marketer or a salesperson. It's like getting it to the auction block, but you have to sell it through. And you can't get bored with your body of work. You know, they're still selling the Torah, they're still selling the Quran, they're still selling the Bible. You still got to sell yours, Susan.
Yeah.
Forever and ever, because you're leaving a legacy. You know, you are leaving a definitely an imprint.
Yeah. If I could just say, April, I think, you know, The marketing piece is so huge. So my understanding is even with traditional publishers, and I know a few people who have gone that route, that they still have to get out and promote their book. And certainly with hybrid, you have to do that. And the more you do that, although it can be like it might not be your thing, that's I think not why most people go into writing to promote their books. It is a very real piece now to what you have to do.
Yeah, because visibility is key. It's a, it's a flooded highway. And so
Yes.
what is going to have you standing out? Online book readings, online book signings. You can do that. Women's groups, the public library,
Yes.
those are really going to give you a lot of visibility, and they're low cost. And always have your book in the trunk of your car. In the
Yes,
trunk
I've
of
been
my car,
told
I've
that.
got four or five. People say, "Oh, you wrote a book?" Yes, and then there's a sale. Sell the book. It's great to give some books out, but you want people to make an investment in you.
Yes.
And if you give it to them, it turns into a pamphlet. If you actually they make the investment purchase it, then they have a promise to themselves and to you that they're going to read it. And that's what you want. You want
Yes.
people to read it. How do we encourage young people to get back to reading?
That is such a great question, April. And I've recently seen a couple of articles, just sort of headlines mentioning that. I mean, I think one way, one idea definitely is, maybe not to think of reading so traditionally as physically having a book or even the Kindle, but audiobooks. I think audiobooks are a way that so many people, apparently a third of people that buy books now buy them as audiobooks. And the other thing is, I think that I do both, and it's a different experience. So I think audiobooks, and I also think that maybe encouraging children to read along with the audiobook, to have the book and read and also to listen to it. And we all learn in different ways. Some of us are more visual, some of us are more auditory in terms of our processing. And so doing it that way, I think really helps people absorb it more fully. And I think for kids, the audio piece might be a little bit of a link to getting the kids to read.
And reading with them.
And reading with them,
My mother was
absolutely.
90 years old, and I tell you, she goes, "Okay, it's Wednesday, it's time to read." She would cuddle up in the bed, and I would read her anything, the
So
newspaper.
you would re and so you would read to her. So
I would.
yes, I think having parents and grandparents read to children, and having and it's lovely having children read to parents and grandparents, and maybe not doing it just in a solitary way, but maybe even being together as a family.
Right. Making it interactive.
Yeah. Making it an activity as opposed to us being, each being on our device, right? Sitting all together. And even the TV's on, and everybody's got their phone and is scrolling, right? We all know
My
that.
daughter drives me crazy. I'm saying, "Why do you read a book on your phone? The font is like this big.
Yes.
I'm really enjoying that." And she goes, "Yes, I am." So I leave her alone, But thank you so much for being with us, Susan, today. You are definitely a trailblazer, and I'm so excited for you. I'm going to be watching for your book. Now, when it is released, please let us know so that we can run it.
I would love to.
We could talk more about it and talk it up and purchase it on Amazon. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you.
Okay, so if you want to get into contact with me, the best way is to go to my website, which is my name, Susan, then Weisbach, then Friedman, and so at dot com. So SusanWeisbachFriedman.com will take you to my website, and then you can pre-order a book if you want. You can email me if you want. You can sign up for a newsletter if you want.
Well, we're going to look forward to that. I'm going to put all of your contact information at the back of the interview. Brains, pick up a book. What's the last good book that you read? Okay. It's very important because it helps stimulate your mind. It takes you to a different place. I mean, how many of us have been to Poland? I haven't been to Poland. It transports you into the sensitivity and awareness of another culture. men's issues, women's issues, family issues, psychosomatic issues. She's going to take you many places in the pages of Claire's Truth. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, value, and look forward to hearing from you again here on the Edge.
Thank you so much, April. It was a pleasure.